the May 26th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the New Career Commission, the director take the role of establish forum, please.
Yes, Rick Byfield.
I'm present.
Steven Bergeron.
Present.
Blake Kidder.
Present.
All members are present.
Okay, so our first item under the old business is 500 Kidder Street.
Oh, well, I'm there.
Okay, so.
Sure. 500 St. Peter is a purple rated building. This is for recommendation only. Proposal to demolish an elevator shaft in the courtyard in association with ongoing renovation. Per application and materials received May 19th, 2023 and May 11th, 2026, respectively. Ongoing work at the site revealed that an existing late 20th century wood framed elevator shaft present in courtyard 3 was severely damaged by termites and would have to be rebuilt if it were to be retained. Since there was no intention to reuse the shaft, the applicant submitted revised drawings eliminating it and whitening the millwork at the rear of the main building. The revised proposal would install two sets of 4x4 double hung windows with two light transoms above on the second floor and two 4x4 double hung windows on the third floor, each separated by a simple pilaster. This is essentially a wider version of what was approved initially when the shaft was to remain in place. Staff welcomes the demolition of the shaft and recommends conceptual approval, but finds this to be an awkwardly narrow elevation even after the shaft is removed. In order to improve the proportions of the new windows, staff suggests the applicant explore removing the central pilaster and utilizing 6x6 windows that are more in keeping with what was approved in courtyards 2 or 8.
Thank you. I'd like to state the name and address in relation to the property.
Yes, John Houseladen, architect, craft beer architects. 850 job.
Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us or to the staff report?
I think the staff report is agreeable. I did want to say I have a Sanborn map that confirms the elevator shaft wasn't there before 1951. So it would be interesting to hear what you have to say about the proportions.
Hey. Any questions for the applicant? So the look at which slide. So the one to the left is, or to the right is the proposed one to revision 202. And that was approved.
What was approved previously was on the left.
The one for the chef.
Yeah. These are two other courtyards that have been approved.
I have a kind of preliminary thing. I think there's value in this property to differentiate historic construction. And one way that you can do that while maintaining materiality would be to change that. So arrangement that paint glass might be a marker of a later intervention rather than kind of the one thing to go. So go back to the committee.
No, I agree with you.
Then we'll nix the center pilaster and have just one double hung window, 6x6.
I was talking about light pattern, not number of rooms. So I think we still need to talk about that. What do you think? I mean, what is the question about light? That's the first stage. So what is the first stage?
We call it a sunroom. That's what it was called on the 1992 Seisler renovation drawings. It's not really a sunroom as typically understood. It's just a sitting room.
And so if you put a single window in, you come in outside just about very well.
I think the other courtyards, you could go back to Paris. The pilaster is not engaged in the corner. Whereas in this courtyard, because it was so narrow, I engaged it in the corner. You could, like the other courtyards, bring it off, bring it out of the corner so it stands independently. And then that kind of reduces the width of, if you had just one double hung window, it improves the proportions, makes it a little bit more vertical, the lights.
Yeah, that sounds like a correction.
Yeah, it was. It really kind of jumped out to me that the only, you know, the conversation about differentiating between new and old and everything was part of kind of this initial conversation, and none of these courtyards are identical. That was part of the logic behind the transoms going in above the windows. That would be kind of an indication that this wasn't original. But this was the only place where I saw that we had approved for four windows. And the center pilaster also looked to me like it was maybe a little bit wider than some of the other courtyards. So I was thinking maybe just, you know, I know the floor to ceiling heights are different in different locations, and this has a third floor, the other two don't, but just trying to bring it kind of more in line with that vocabulary was what I was thinking.
I agree. I mean, what the super narrow windows look like are the click room, the public pool open at 20, which is not bad. It just seems like an odd choice. So I'm thinking single wide window.
Does that work for you programmatically?
It would. Yeah, that would be okay. I was a little concerned about the third floor window being proportion being too squat. Second floors, okay.
And is there a reason to include that transom and not just have three windows
right
stacked on the rooftop?
Good question. The ceiling is dropped there. So in situations where it was dropped and there's a cavity, we put a painted black board behind the transom. I don't know the history that preceded me on the project. What?
And that's at the third floor.
Second floor. For the transom.
What do you think about that being vertical? The transom. Mm-hmm. Since it's blanked out.
Right.
It's wood. Yeah, it's wood. It's wood. Wood floor.
So the extending the wood up or down just kind of be
the transom kind of was previously approved in for the other courtyards. So that's why we're kind of sticking with. It sometimes, if it got too short, the transom, then it switched to a panel and there was a specified dimension. That, like, for example, on the elevation on the right here, it's a panel because the ceiling was dropped just a little bit. And then when there was a larger cavity, it became glass with a painted in the back. And the ceiling aligns with the transom bar.
So, is there any need to make all these courtyards the same?
No, I don't think any of them are the same.
And so, carrying the idea of one point, it's not necessary to kind of like and extending the wood. Siding down two more courses, not changing
I guess it would be a pretty deep. Are you seeing the spaceship board? It's just a.
I was thinking really, your thing.
No, it's like a
It's that horizontal element. It's just one floor.
Yeah, it's just one floor. Well,
yeah, that would be a difficult detail, with that transom board there.
Right.
That
yeah. How big is that? Is that trim board between?
I think it's been drawn in the shop drawings. It's one piece of wood. Okay. All right.
Probably join. Two pieces would join.
Oh, okay. Perhaps.
Okay. You know. Well, as we muddle through this, is there any public comment on this report? Okay. No input. Okay, committee, it's up to you.
I'm just looking at this plan, and we're removing a shaft, which is great, but we're retaining the walls around it. That looks happy.
It's a little bit of a
volume on it.
It almost be helpful to have a section for you. There's actually the shaft. Almost to describe it, I think you would kind of need a section. But basically, the shaft. There's this is the first floor plan here, and then. There's sort of open area that there's an overhang, a cantilevered overhang to sunroom, what the sunroom is,
okay,
where the windows are. And that meets the shaft on the second floor and the third floor, but not on the first floor. The wall of the building is actually further in plan west.
And so in these elements,
kind of squeezes up in between.
So what we're looking at on these elevations is on the original proposal, the shaft is shown and it's receiving some kind of stucco treatment. And in the new proposal, the shaft is now being removed and the wall behind it has an opening that you're infilling with windows. To match Jason.
Correct.
Little bump out on the left hand side of these elevations on ground floor level is the bump out you're describing.
Yes.
So the space that you are showing between the windows in your proposal, what is that? I mean, how much trim do you have on the side? How much do you have?
The trim on the side as shown right now would be half the width of a pilaster base. And I believe they're like not maybe 9 inches. So then it's about 5.5 inches.
What is the
dimension for itself? I'm not quite sure.
Did you narrow the window in order to fit to the end? Standard like 34 inch window? Or?
They're all custom windows.
You can see in the image. Some of the windows are very. I'm just having trouble appreciating how the overall width of that space is horizontal, like
totally sure.
Metrics would help. Then I'm trying to figure out what the salvage is around the window, single window, with more space.
There will be, yeah.
If we, and it's going, you know, to give us appreciation of what that salvage is. You did a really good job of getting it to work. The staff's recommendation or suggestion was to look at single window.
Either whether it was a single window or not was just to play around with the elevation and try to get something that was a little bit closer. Since, like I said, this was the only place I saw 4x4s and everything else was 6x6s. And since they did look narrow and that pilaster doesn't technically need to be there, I was curious, you know, how much the elevation had been kind of experimented with.
We're just talking about urgency. How urgent is the decision?
It's going to have to go to commission, which means that we do have one more AC meeting before that, if we're able to submit something.
You know, I think that this is something that I could say as a kind of a one conclusion. I don't think we have any opposition. I think there are real questions about how you actually style the open gaming space. And having a little bit more, not having to rehearse the whole decision about the elevator shaft might be more free to present a situation about how these are going to get. I think there's enough variables going on here that I don't necessarily feel like have a big picture of what I think is not fair.
Do you think staff can resolve this at their level?
You know, I would feel comfortable with that if staff could.
Purple is going to commission, so if y'all are comfortable with it, I can.
Well, I don't think we're comfortable with it itself.
And like Aaron said, there's one more AC meeting for the next commission. So
is it going to commission just because of the demolition?
No, it's purple rated, so everything has to go. Yeah.
Is that the couple of ways that 2 week period position materials to get it? So there'd be extra time to get something.
I'll be happy to help.
I think this is subtle enough that having a little bit more information. So do you have a referral?
Sure. In the matter of 500 St. Peter, I move to conceptually approve the demolition of the shaft and defer the silver with provisions based on today's discussion to be presented at the next AC.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
Okay.
All votes aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Thanks for coming in.
Okay.
Narrowing it down. Next item is 401 to Gate Street. Do you have that report, please?
Sure. 401 Decatur is the Yellow Rated main building. This is the proposal to modify first floor millwork. For application materials received April 15, 2026. And May 11th, 2026. The applicant submitted an elevation drawing for conceptual review of their proposal to replace all first floor storefront windows on the confined Decatur elevation with single light over panel French doors. No plans or detailed drawings have yet been submitted for staff to provide feedback on their appropriateness. It is currently unclear if the extant pair of doors on Decatur are consistent with historic photographs or if they have been replaced or detrimentally altered, as they are routinely covered in merchandise to the extent that no architectural features are discernible. They do currently swing outward instead of in, contrary to what is typical for this age and style of building. The existing pair of doors on the Kansai elevation are currently single light over panel as proposed by the applicant. It is unclear if the applicant's intent is to have all doors swinging in, out, or a combination of the two. Archival photographs indicate that after 1943 and by 1946, the millwork in the ground floor of the 401 Decatur building was altered from four light over panel French doors in each of the three ground floor openings on Decatur Street to its current fenestration French doors and shop windows. The transom bars appear to have been altered in the two downriver openings, and six light fan lights were installed in all three openings. It appears from the 1943 photo that all openings on the Kansai elevation were also four light over panel French doors with no shop windows present. The existing Kansai side transom bars are consistent with historic photographs and appear to be unaltered. While property use and business operations are not within the jurisdiction of the BCC or Architecture Committee, staff finds it appropriate to note that several applications have been received in recent years, which propose the opposite millwork alteration, replacing first floor doors with storefront, in order to address repeated theft concerns from shoplifters and entering the building on one elevation and quickly exiting the other side. Since it would be regrettable if this work were performed and then another application submitted to reverse it in future, staff recommends the owner carefully consider whether or not this is a concern prior to demolition of the existing millwork, which has been in place since the 1940s and could be considered to have some significance compared to new millwork. Conceptually, staff welcomes the restoration of the ground floor openings to something closer to the original fenestration. However, it should be noted that this property is consistently cited and taken to adjudication for display of t-shirts and other merchandise hung on their doors, which is prohibited by the design guidelines and the City of New Orleans Code of Ordinances. If this is going to continue to be the practice of this property, staff is concerned that approval of new doors could exponentially increase the negative impact of the merchandise on the overall appearance of the building. The BCC is not obligated to approve voluntary work while violations are present and unabated. Since discussions surrounding this application, or sorry, this concern may not be strictly within the purview of the committee may wish to forward this application to the full commission for consideration. The replacement of this millwork may be considered to require commission approval per the guidelines anyway. Quote, replacing an existing window or door with a historically appropriate window or door that does not match the existing in all aspects can be handled at committee level, while installing another door window type, configuration, or style requires commission review. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding whether or not commission review should be required to convert the shop windows into historically appropriate doors. If conceptually approved, for all full architectural drawings must be submitted to staff for final review, and shop drawings must be submitted prior to permit issuance. Since the scope of work is limited to millwork replacement, it would not be productive to allow work to begin before shop drawings are available for final review, as is the case for many applications with a more expansive scope.
Thank you. Would you like to take your name and address, relationship?
Yes, John Rupley, project architect, and at 1700 Josephine Street, Suite 201.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation response to that report?
Yes. I'm looking for a conceptual yes or a conceptual no. In terms of replacing all the doors and windows and going back with the new.
So I have a question. Staff brought up the question of whether these doors were going to be in sleeve or out sleeve.
Yes, it's interesting because the one on Kansai Street looks like it swings inward, while the one on Decatur Street, which looks like I wasn't able to find that 1943 image that y'all produced. Which looks like it's more, the doors are more in line with what's on the one door on Decatur Street on the corner right there. Can't really see what it is, but I was able to peel it back and it's, yeah, the four light over one panel leaves.
And the other question is, how wide are those? Do
you meet your they vary actually by plus or minus an inch and a half.
Will pair of doors be restricted?
Yes.
One leaf is wider. I mean, I guess the first.
It didn't have to be both leaves.
Operate that well for
under 50 feet.
So there's no stair.
Is it going to be the same tenant? Is it going to be?
I believe it is.
I don't know if that would work for me.
For ADA, they have the actuators that do allow for both to operate at the same time, but that does require the switch on the outside in the jam. And it's small. It fits within a transom bar, so it can.
That's another consideration. The overall opening.
The overall opening would need ADA with a single leaf now.
They're gonna have the doors open all the time. Yeah. No.
By the first question would be if we need doors back to the stair.
I don't.
So I have a question, just, and I don't know that this is something I'm sort of collectively asking the group, you know, if it appears that the purpose of modifying these doors and over these openings to outswing doors is to merchandise material that is illegal and to increase the ability to merchandise illegal in merchandising illegal. Is that something that we should or would like to take into consideration on conceptually approving this?
Well, it's not that. I don't know if that's the applicant's stated goal.
I don't know that it's the applicant's stated goal either, but I guess
our goal, I think, is
the architect. I agree. So if we have motivation to change the openings to all outswinging French doors, okay, let's just say that. Would it, architecturally speaking, is that something that we would find to be appropriate? And that's the answer to the question I was asking. The rest is speculative and outside of our purview. But I'm concerned about what we're going to end up with at the end of the day. I mean, considering what we deal with in these kind of situations.
I mean, and it's also stated in the report, well, the violation.
Property reports for things like this usually cite the part of the design guidelines state that the guidelines discourage wholesale replacement of millwork.
Right.
Sounds like that's what this proposal is. So I guess, you know, we would discourage that, right? That simple,
unless it was in the direction of restoration,
right?
Which
is not, no, it's not.
No.
Well, John, you haven't actually proposed which direction they're going to swing, right?
No,
okay. So, if they all were to swing in, which would be consistent with this photograph, then would that be something that we would consider a restoration?
Probably flip light pattern, panel pattern, all that. Well, the proposal currently doesn't participate in
This is more of just like Brian was saying, I'm not trying to do anything legal here or propose anything such. Now that I see this image, yeah, we would go with the door light over single past that door on the corner on Decatur Street. But can't really tell what's going on with the transom window. That image, I mean, I'd say continue to replicate the fan light and replicate the existing transoms. So it would be more in terms of restoration.
I think it would have to be strictly a restoration.
Which includes door swings.
Which includes the swing and the detailing and probably the retention of existing doors that match that historic detail. That's what we're basing it on. We would just want to just keep what exists and matches.
Is that door corner?
I believe that's the only original.
But now it's outswinging red.
Yes.
Just a hardware thing, though.
What in jam?
Yeah.
I think a plan would be very helpful to understand, you know, what in-swing doors in the space would look like. Seems unlikely that there would be room for that in a retail space.
Well, I think a plan would be helpful, and what doors are actually required to be out by, like, you know, like.
Right.
And I think that informs, I mean, there might not be a stair that leads up to that building, but it's hard for me to imagine that you're there on one of the other buildings. It seems like one of those doors.
I think the stair is in that door, Blake. Yeah. That actual door that's there.
The one that's on
Conte
side.
Yeah. That one goes up.
So that would be your egress, I guess.
We have to see how that
works. Yeah, but you just have to see. That's what.
So I think it's what I think we're getting to is it's more than just the vertical appearance of how these buildings operate that are part of the architecture of the building. And it has to be part of the proposal to either restore the opening or alter it somewhere.
I would like to also add the fact that we are responsible for the Tudor Ensemble of the district, and that does include, you know, a building that has six openings that would be left open to merchandise material all the time. And that's speculation. I recognize that. However, considering the location, considering the business model of this tenant that doesn't seem to be leaving, I'm concerned about modifying the building architecturally to further that impact on the Tudor Ensemble that is within our purview.
Is that more of a mission?
Perhaps. But I'm raising this because this is the reality of the world in which we operate, and I don't want to be naive. And, you know, we are modifying this building to something that was, you know, not necessarily a historic condition or proposing to do so. And forgive me if I'm incorrect in speculating about what this could do to the Tudor Ensemble.
But I think that if we were to entertain a restoration, these openings with in-swinging doors,
So that's conceptual, yes, on restoration.
In swinging.
Yeah. What about me?
But I do want you to keep in mind they still will be fine, and if they have merchandise on the doors, regardless if they're in swinging or out.
Understand.
Because that's in the guideline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably be on the floor. Is there any public comment on this proposal? Any other questions or little motion? We're trying to ask for either a conceptual approval or a conceptual disapproval. I think we've raised enough questions to say that it may not bear to decision. Right. Maybe you'd like to add a little
bit more? So deferral pending more information.
That might be what we're doing.
Okay. Well, y'all go ahead and decide.
Has the owner stated what the reason is for this proposal?
They believe that it would attract more people off the street. Yes, the person I'm representing is RFS Enterprises LLC. So not whom you believe may or may not.
Okay, is there a motion in matter of 401 Decatur Street?
In the matter of 401 Decatur Street, I move that we defer this matter for additional information relating to restoration.
Would you mind adding a plan drawing showing the operational doors relative to use and building proof? Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second that.
Thank you
for your time. 1131 Dauphine is a yellow rated main building. This is a proposal to perform structural repairs for application materials dated May 8, 2026. Following recent purchase of the property, the applicant contacted DCC staff with concerns regarding the structural condition of the rear porch. Staff inspected on April 9th, 2026, and recommended that they consult an engineer to propose structural repairs. Drawings have been provided, which include framing repairs, new columns, and foundation work as follows. Foundation, a broken pier at the rear corner beneath a load-bearing column will be replaced with new 8-inch filled PMU pier with 24-inch by 36-inch footing, 18 inches deep, reinforced with number 5 rebar, and a 5-inch diameter galvanized threaded rod. A new CMU pier with 24 by 24 footing is proposed to provide support for the adjacent pier located where the building wall ends and the porch begins. Staff notes that CMU piers are often not approvable by the committee, but the CMU must not be exposed. Since the reveals at the piers may be affected if a width of brick is added, staff requests that the applicant work with an architect to provide architectural details showing the relationship between the new piers and sill to ensure the CMU has no visual impact. Columns notes call for existing columns from first to second floor and second floor to roof to be replaced with solid 6x6 wrapped, match existing, and attached for detail. Details show a Simpson column cap beam and a Simpson ABU 66 column base with anchor bolt extending into foundation at the sill. Staff requests that architectural details be provided for all column trim and connections to the base in order to ensure that the Simpson column bracket is not visible and all reveals and profiles are replicated to match existing. Framing, the existing earth line side sill will be replaced, but they're not specified. At the first floor, the applicant notes that joists in this area have been patched and repairs tended over time. We recommend either reframing under the rear porch with pressure-treated 2x10 joists at 16 inches on center, or sistering joists so they are sufficiently seated on the sill and spanning to the next sill. On the second floor, Simpson H2.5A brackets are to be added at each joist. Staff notes that the structure is currently obscured by soffits on the first and second floors. The architectural details should be provided showing the soffit in relation to the framing and column. The existing Ursuline side beam has not been observed yet due to the soffit, but notes call for, if in poor condition, replaced with two 2x12 beams pressure treated. Joist locations are shown dashed, but no notes are provided regarding whether they would be sistered or replaced if they are found to be in poor condition as per the first floor. Staff notes that the existing second floor soffit includes a pull-down attic access hatch that is not reflected in the drawing, so it is unclear if this is to be retained or removed. Staff does not make recommendations on structural repairs, but finds the proposal to be largely consistent with similar work. If found conceptually approvable by the committee, staff requests the applicant provide architectural details as noted in the report above prior to final review and approval at staff level.
Thank you. Let's take your name and address, relationship to property.
My name is Jennifer Snape. Address 2018 Jenna Street in New Orleans, and I am structural engineer for the owner.
No presentation or response to staff report to what shows.
Don't have a presentation beyond the photos and plans that you guys had screen. So, you know, I think in general the owner wants to go back with it to look similar to how it is currently. So I can confirm that it, you know, get an architect on board to provide details. That would be the best path forward. And I didn't even go in the attic. The condition of the second floor for the attic framing stamp that needed to be replaced, but or repaired, that I could do an additional investigation. I couldn't see the second floor framing, but I can add a note to investigate it once, you know, any soffit or the condition. A lot of the stuff is kind of hidden, so a little hard to see. But the floor framing on the porch is, like I said, been patched over time, so there's a lot of little headers and like little short pieces of wood, and they're just kind of moving separately, so having a little dip in the deck there. So I think that floor is probably placed there from center beam line to the outside beam line, so they'd be continuous.
I have two questions. Hey, Kimmy, do you have a question?
I guess you're proposing CMU piers. Do you ever propose to reconstruct brick piers?
I'm fine reconstructing a brick pier, especially for the one brick pier, the new one. The one at the corner has, you know, potential uplift from the deck being open, and like that's the whole reason for using CMU, is that we would want to be able to provide some connection down to the ground for potential uplift. Otherwise, I love brick and it'd be fine. It's more to me current wind codes. So, you know, in other projects, you've used the brick with the holes in them so that you can put a rod through it down to a concrete footing, which would be totally fine. You know, it doesn't look as historic on the masonry, but they do have that ability to have connection.
This can cure is stuck on that finish.
There's another photo from the other angle.
There it is.
Yeah. It's been sort of
like
pointed in or something.
Well, it's glued it together.
Something slapped up. Yeah. Some border on it.
Yeah.
The one and the one adjacent to it that we're calling out for the new one next to, it is exposed.
And the staff's concern with CMU is just like material repair or?
I'm sorry, what was that?
The issue with the using the CMU here. That
it has to do with, mostly it has to do with appearance for just make and consistency. No concerns with actually like using the CMU. Just we have talked to people in the past who said, oh, we're going to do CMU, but then we're going to wrap it in brick to make it look right. It's like, but then everything's out of the right plane. Yeah.
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 I mean, it could be reframed that to provide enough room to put a brick facing on it. You know, we could put the sill back and the cantilever sill a couple inches. We wanted to do that, but then, I mean.
Yeah.
So it seems like a lot.
I only have another question.
Okay.
And that would be what I always ask is differential settlement between the new cast place concrete pad and the existing square footage. Have you accommodated any chance or?
I think that in this case, and in a lot of cases I find, in, you know, especially older buildings, is that the soil below the existing brick wall is typically pretty packed. It's been there for over 100 years. So I will add an intro to not disturb the existing soil and maybe really try to put the bottom of the new footing at the same spot as the bottom of the old footing. And I think that that way it's all the same soil. One thing that I will note here that I think the owner is interested in doing, and maybe we can amend the application to show this, is they would like to do some drainage repairs right there. That downspout is falling right by that footing. And I think that's kind of what's been causing some of the rot, the cracking. And so they would like to potentially put in a perch drain right there, or reconnect it if they can find an old one. And I think it's disconnected. So I know that's not it.
So I'm going to ask if there's any public comment about this. The comment, pretty. Any other questions? Yeah. I think in this case, I just going to do it. Excuse me. Any other?
I'm fine with you.
I am too. It kind of marks what's going on here. Pretty resting on the cast in place concrete.
I do. Footing. I do. The drainage, probably, I agree with you, looking at that if that could be something that could be submitted at that level.
So usually any alterations to drainage, including like French drains or anything like that, do require committee review. I will say that we have received an application to install a pool at this property. It is further back on the site. It's not like immediately adjacent to the foundation or anything like that. As part of that application, I did say, you know, if you're going to be making any changes to drainage, that all needs to be included in the proposal. I think that's something that could potentially be wrapped up in the pool application, or it could be added to the scope of work. If y'all would like to see that come back independent of the pool, we would normally be bringing that back.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think it would make a lot of sense to do it in the pool. I forgot about the pool. Okay, so yeah, I think it makes sense.
In the matter of 1131 Docking Street, I would certainly accept the partial repair proposal as provided, including PME piers with stucco overlay, all details to be worked out with.
Would you amend that to require architectural drawings to address superficial part of the structure repair?
Yeah.
As per staff.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Thanks for coming
thank
in today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is 518. 518, Governor Nickel.
You want to just do it?
Let's see that one until later. How about 716 Duvain? 716 Duvain? Looking with 9/11 through 15 Governor Nichols.
Here we go.
Okay. 9/11 through 15 Governor Nichols is a blue-rated main building. We'll note that this application is regarding
The two new structures on the Brady Park side, one of which fronts on Dauphine. They are under construction and have no official rating. This is an appeal to retain paint applied in deviation from design guidelines and without benefit of EPC review and approval. Current application and materials received May 11th, 2026. On April 9th, 2026, staff noted that the new construction had been painted in deviation from design guidelines and without a paint permit. While staff has no issues with the selected colors, their application is not consistent with the design guidelines. Notably, the doors, window sashes, wooden dependency columns, and rails have all been painted dark green. The guidelines require that they be white or off-white. The metal rail and shutters are also proposed to be dark green, which is in keeping with the guidelines and approvable at staff level. It should also be noted that the paint colors on the new building are similar to the historic building, but not a direct match, and they have been applied in different locations, giving the new construction an inconsistent appearance despite their similar palette. The applicant is appealing to retain the work, which they stated they believed had been approved. On May 20th, 2025, the VCC received a paint application for 911 Governor Nichols, which did not reference the new construction in the description, and staff understood to be for the main building. A permit was issued and sent to the applicant, which stated 911 through 13 Governor Nichols only, all colors to match existing previously approved. It was determined after the fact that the applicant's intent had been for the new construction, not for repainting the new rated building. The applicant did not at any point dispute the text on the permit before beginning work. It appears that changes to the addressing of the property contributed to the confusion. In the decades prior to this application, all submittals under Governor Nichols' addresses were referring to the blue-rated main building, while the previously separate lot that now includes new construction was addressed as 1215 Dauphine. During construction, the entire property was readdressed as 911 through 15 Governor Nichols, which VCC staff was not alerted to. Staff questions why the change in address was not completed as part of the re-subdivision prior to permit, rather than mid-construction, after all building permits for the new construction had been issued and reissued under 1215 Dauphine. Adding to the confusion, a set of elevation drawings that already included a VCC stamp were uploaded with the application. These elevations were taken from the approved construction documents and had been edited to add notes with the proposed paint colors, but the VCC-approved stamp had not been removed, making it unclear that the drawings had been edited after the stamp was applied and not been reviewed by VCC staff. Crucially, the applicant did not contact staff after the permit was issued to dispute the text on the permit, which clearly stated all colors to match existing. Staff contends that this should have clearly alerted the applicant that a miscommunication had occurred, as there was no paint to match on the new construction, and these colors had never been previously approved as noted on the permit either. As a matter of fact, the design guidelines do not permit the application of dark green paint or any other color other than white or off-white for any wooden railings or columns on buildings of any age and style. The guidelines are readily available online, and VCC staff is available for consultation at any time during the review process. The applicant should have been aware in advance that their proposal would not be approvable by staff as submitted. The materials submitted with the paint permit did not have a new stamp applied by VCC staff to indicate that the edits included the paint colors that had been approved. It also had not been moved to the approved documents folder for the permit on OneStop. Additionally, final stamp materials are always emailed to the applicant along with the permit as standard operating procedure by VCC staff. It's the applicant's responsibility to review the permit and stamp materials after issuance and inform staff if there are any discrepancies between the applicant's intent and the approved work. More importantly, for future applications, staff was deeply alarmed by the edit and resubmittal of stamp materials and informed the applicant that there should never be any revisions to drawings that have already been stamped by VCC or DSP staff. Any edits after the fact make that stamp null and void since the revisions have not been reviewed. This practice could lead to discrepancies that result in loss of historic integrity, unnecessary delays, extra expenses, and potentially life safety concerns. Staff does not find a compelling architectural reason for retention of this work in deviation from the design guidelines and recommends denial. If the committee finds the applicant's confusion surrounding the 2025 paint application to be compelling, they can forward the appeal to the commission for consideration, either with or without a recommendation. The applicant can appeal the staff and or committee's decisions to the full commission within 30 days of this hearing.
Thank
you. Kylie Lewis, project manager, the lead architect at the Oral Grove.
John Williams, Williams Architect at the Oral Grove.
Do you have a presentation?
Yes, I just have some in-between information, kind of filling in the gaps of the summary that
we got a copy for you too.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, so on April 23rd, I began the conversation with Erin regarding the colors in the application. She reviewed a rendering that had been done, and she provided some recommendation. But she also said that I would need to open the paint application so that Renee could review it, and Renee was copied on that correspondence. So when I did open the application on May 20th, I uploaded the drawing indicating where the paints were, thinking that it would be reviewed before a permit was issued. So that was uploaded. And then the next day we received the paint permit. So with it being the same address, I was under the assumption that the drawings were reviewed as the colors were called out and the contractor moved forward. On September 15th, Noah Epstein required an in-person inspection of the work on the property. And so we had that inspection on September 18th of okay. that week.
I'm sorry, Kylie, we're talking about 2025?
Yes.
2025.
Okay. I just yes. want to make sure we're...
Yeah, 2025. So then September 18th, 2025, BCC, Noah, Erin, Renee, I'm not sure if Brian was there or not, but they were there on site and the buildings were already painted. We had it, we were there for everyone to review. But in that site visit or after that, there was no comment to the paint at all.
And the building
at that
paint,
point,
look, if you look, the building painted.
And at that point, there was still scaffolding on site. So it wasn't until April of this year when Renee visited the site to review the brick for approval that she mentioned that the colors were incorrect. So at that point, painters were demobilized. A lot of other things had transpired on site. So now it's more of a hardship to correct the colors where we seem to be violent.
So if you look at the third sheet you have here, and you go down and you say wall, Revere pewter, shutters, black forest green, doors and windows, black forest green. If you go down, other surfaces, black forest green, railings and posts. If you go look at the paint color.
What are you referencing?
That's the paint application.
This is the paint application. I want to make sure. We didn't just pick these colors out of the blue. These are the colors that we gave the contractor, and the contractor's here if you have any questions for him. And you go back to the, and you have on the last page, and I will, third to last, the pictures that we took of the staff being there in September. We don't get notification to change everything until all the scaffolding's down, everything's done. And these periodic visits, this is new construction. And I've done 500 projects in the French Quarter. I've probably got three or four new construction. Very important that we all work together to keep up. And this was in September. If there was a problem with paint, this isn't you don't prime it the green. Our hardship is that we've taken all this. If they had that day said, hey, we noticed the colors here that look really wrong, you should be changing them, this would have cost half as much. Because we already have the scaffolding up, the painters are on the job. So fast forward to when?
April 9th.
This is like last month, saying, sorry, we want you, and today they denying that we keep these colors. They want us to go and repaint basically all the trim, all the railing. And I personally, don't find it objectionable. Nobody has knocked on our door and said, boy, those colors, they look terrible. I think they look really good. They're not normal, but I think they're approvable. And I believe that you're saying, and it's just a point of clarity, and here, you can have this now. I've got a couple other notes. Just a point of clarity that the architectural committee cannot approve this. That it has to go to the commission?
No, just if you want to appeal any decisions, just
okay.
It's
so I would ask you to approve these colors. There are other green trim buildings that have been approved. I've gone through a lot of color approving,
And look at this. This is the front. Okay. And my presentation is that this is not objectionable. It's different. It's new construction. I can count on my hands the new construction. So, you know, that's one aspect of it that, you know, is just different. So my pleading to you is, and on my owner's behalf, because I checked with him, I said, hey, can you repaint this thing? He said he'd rather not. I mean, it's a big expense. And if you want to know the particulars about expense, the contractor's here too. And he followed the paint application. And if you read carefully, there was, we used to call this Dauphine Street. Do you think that all of a sudden we changed it to Governor Nichols?
No.
Because we're going through the city, and the city says, you cannot use Dauphine Street. You
it
have
sounds
to use.
Like a misunderstanding.
So I don't really care about any of this, except for you guys can do whatever you want. This is new construction. That column and the rails are the biggest problem we've got here. This is that column and that rail right there are seen from all over the place. I don't care about the doors. I don't care about the windows. This is something we get asked for all the time, and I have to tell people no. On the
I want you to know that it is guideline.
That's a rear building.
That's the rear building.
It's seen from right there, from the park,
and from Governor Nichols.
That's what you see. I mean, going down Dauphine Street.
So my question, though, is you keep saying that it's, you know, it's guidelines, it's not, you know, and that you follow the things. This is the permit.
Yeah.
You don't. The contractor shouldn't be following the paint application. Well, should be following the permit.
Right.
And on the permit, all colors to match existing previously approved.
And then you
but
go.
But it doesn't match what's on Governor Nichols, is my point.
I want to be clear that, yes, our guidelines are guidelines, and also permits are what should be followed. So it seems to me that, and I also don't really care, okay? This is not a big deal.
No.
Except for the fact that you say that the contractor has been following the application.
He had the colors on an application.
That's not following the permit. And we've had a whole lot of issues with not following permits. So the permit says match existing previously approved. If I were the contractor, I would walk previously existing on new construction.
Walk here, and what is previously approved? This is previously approved. The rail and the columns are trim color.
Good. Please make reference here. Everywhere it says new. We renovated it. We painted. Why would we apply for a building? And I do think it's a misunderstanding. And look, you know, we're not going to die on a sword here. I just, we're making a plea. And I think, where we indicate that it's new construction, that, and these are the colors. And this is the young man back here that said, okay, well, this is how I'm going to paint it. And that's what he painted. So
I would like to say that I feel like this is not an architectural committee question because it's a hardship issue. We don't define hardship. But it's not in our purview. We enforce the design guidelines.
We're really bound by that.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, it is new construction. I've asked if perhaps they could compromise, maybe just paint the rail and the columns. We'll let the rest of it go.
What is there other than the rail and the columns?
Every door and window.
And transom.
And transom. Right there. Can you see?
And the shutters are also going to be dark green. So there's
and the shutters are going to be dark green.
We want to work with you. Can I ask you how you asked us that?
I asked that before to McKinsey and Kylie. I think I haven't said it on
that. That is for another.
I think a lot of it will be hidden by the wall that's there. And again, this is new construction. But the columns and the rail, not, and I don't mean this front building. That's a metal rail, so that can be that color. It's the wooden columns and rail and spindle.
How about if we just paint the attachment, the L. That's what you can see from the street.
You can see both buildings from the street. If you look from Governor Nichols, there's another. You can see the side of the rear real building very easily from. I mean, this is. when it's still in construction, but it is.
No, but you can see the other building from Cabrini.
Yeah, you can.
Just stop right there. These columns here, this rail, these columns.
Those should match.
Yeah, they should match each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so not that, just because I'm getting an ask here that I didn't get. We're all here. This is an architectural committee. What do you think? The balcony column and rail?
I mean, all the doors and all that are going to have dark green shutters on them. So when they're closed, it's all dark green. And is it a compromise to just paint the wooden rails and columns on both buildings?
I think that's what Renee is
there. Renee, is that the...
I'm sorry, Tom, I didn't hear you.
That's why we brought the contract
here. Paint the wooden rails,
and
the wooden columns on both buildings so that the L-back and...
In the rear building, yeah.
It's going to take one person 2 days. I mean,
column, rail, spindles, yeah.
No scaffolding.
What color?
The white.
The white?
The pewter.
We need to revise and issue this paint permit first before any of this is...
But also, you guys have to approve the doors and the windows remaining. Retention.
First, I ask, is there any public comments about this? No. Then I ask the committee if they have any discussion about this proposal or the alternate proposal being made by the...
I feel like the ultimate still doesn't comply with the guideline. Which, again,
it's new construction, so you could approve that retention. I will write it in the permit stated that way. It's new construction, ARC approved retention of doors window to be dark green.
The new construction.
Yeah. Not, I would specifically say not main house. Yeah.
But if one along the street is the wrong color.
The metal galleries.
It's metal.
The doors and windows on the main building are still incorrect, as are the outriggers. Those also should not be painted dark. They are not decorative ironwork elements, so those should be painted white. There are inconsistencies throughout, but we would not request that those columns and rail be painted white, just the wooden ones.
Okay, committee, any other questions?
Just for the historian. The reason the design guidelines are the way they are is because history of paint is such that the coatings were white or off-white, and then you would add a pigment to it for insect resistance or whatever, and that would create green. Is that right? And
greens were cheap, and everyone used a lot of green. Yeah.
I mean, is there any realm or world where someone would have painted their doors and transoms and
columns? No, I mean, they should be trim color.
The only time that you would see any of this painted differently and kind of picked out would be like on an East Lake cottage. Yeah. Sometimes you see that, you know, something with a lot of gingerbreading, but something that is clearly trying to emulate a more historic typology, you know, we just generally go with what fits best as far as the age and then also the age of the main building when we're looking at new construction.
But I mean, I have seen in the last 11 years I've worked here with new construction with changing the paint colors a little bit. It's just that rail is something we get asked about a lot by other people, and I have to tell them no. So that's where I'm holding my ground. But that's just information for your own benefit. You guys can decide.
So the compromise is paint all the doors in the direct equipment.
Columns and rail. On the service building and in the rear.
And those outriggers should be white, John. Yeah. The outriggers.
Well, I'd like to start by saying congratulations on getting the building this far.
It's 10 years.
Unfortunately, I've been here for that whole thing. Paint is ephemeral, but I think
he has a good point. So I guess the question for Stephen, do you think this is a commission level request, or is this something that's here if we're making a compromise over the parks?
I think because it's a compromise and it's not explicitly permitted by the guidelines, it has to go before the commission. Right, and the commission would be approving it as a compromise and as a matter of design build hardship.
You can forward that as a recommendation.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And we can, I can help them craft with their compromise. Yeah. The language.
I think, yeah. Okay, do motions in the matter of, I guess we're calling this 9/11 $15 Nick, which there you go. Do we have a motion?
Yes, in the matter of 9/11 to 15 Governor Nichols, I move to forward this proposal to the full commission for their consideration of a compromise solution that's been discussed today. On the basis of the terms and conditions of the situation we find ourselves
in. Do you want to address coloring for particular building parts? That motion?
Sure, yeah. I'll just note that briefly we discussed having the dependency, which is new construction, having the railings, the columns painted in the trim color, and having the outriggers on the main new construction building painted white to match the underside of the rest of the underside.
Do I have a second to that motion?
A second.
All good with the aye?
Aye.
Right. Motion passes. Thank you.
I'm just curious about one of the outriggers included in the
all ironwork. Only decorative ironwork is the painted, not white.
Okay, just be decision. Don't start.
And actually, that what, just
put,
no, no. I, just before Mr. Williams walked away, that is actually stated on there.
Outriggers under balconies.
Outriggers under balconies or galleries, and underside of the decking should be painted white.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Next item is 717 St. Peter's. Okay.
Sure. 717 St. Peter is a green rated main building and service building. This is an appeal to retain rooftop satellite dish for application materials received May 11, 2026. A 2022 application to address longstanding demolition by neglect and work without permit issues revealed that a satellite dish had been installed on the roof of the main building without benefit of ECC review and approval. When staff noted that the guidelines require committee and commission approval to retain the dish, the applicant revised the proposal to include its removal. That work was not executed and the dish remained in place. Staff issued a permit to replace the roof of the main building in December 2025, and the dish was observed at final inspection. The applicant is appealing to retain the dish, stating that it is necessary for their business operation. The design guidelines state that whenever possible, equipment should be located in a visually unobtrusive, or should located to be visually unobtrusive, typically on a rear slope of a roof surface or concealed behind a parapet. The installation of a satellite dish, mobile telecommunications equipment, or similar equipment is not allowed where it is visible from any other property. Photos of the dish show it located adjacent to mechanical equipment and behind a short parapet. A few windows with vantage points at the roof are visible in the photos, but staff finds it unlikely that the dish is visually obtrusive from any of them, and this is likely the most discreet of location available. Staff notes that it's unclear to what extent the dish is mounted to the roof. Photos show CMU blocks the base of the dish, which may be holding it down, but it does not appear to be secured. Staff requests additional information from the applicant regarding the attachment, as there should be no question that it is securely attached in order to prevent it from becoming a projectile during a storm, and the roof system must be adequately flashed around the attachment to prevent water intrusion. Staff recommends the committee conceptually approve the appeal to retain and forward the application to the commission as required by the design guidelines prior to final review and approval at staff level.
Okay, thank you. We'd like to state your name and address in relation to the problem.
Yes, Chad Kalora, Director of Operations for New Construction, through the general contractor for the re-roofing of this property at 717 St. Peter. When we originally applied for the permit for the roof replacement, we were under the impression that the satellite was not active. When we completed the work, we found out it actually was active. So that's, we're trying to be deceptive in that. We found out, and then tried to convince the owner that he should go to an internet-based or cable service. Apparently, DirecTV only is the only one that offers this package. So he really feels it's all important to his business. As far as how it's mounted, my understanding is that that is a metal frame that it is mounted to. Cinder blocks are helping to hold that down. So if there is another method that is requested to make sure that that's anchored properly, we have no issues making those corrections.
I don't think we're going to get into how it's anchored, but we're just going to talk about this. Any questions for the applicant? I mean, it's not visible from the street.
That's my work.
Is there a public comment? Any questions?
Understood.
Then may not appreciate that.
Well, okay. Once you get there.
Okay. Anything else? Like Daddy?
Nothing.
Okay. We have a motion in the matter of 717.
I can make a motion in the matter of 717 St. Peter Street. That's to be approved. As stated in and refer to the commission for final review.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that one?
Aye.
Okay, pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dan.
1224 Voting Street. We have asked the
All right.
1223-24 Burma Street is a green rated building. Mm-hmm. There's a proposal for complete installation of new HVAC equipment begun without benefit of BCC review or approval, for which a stop work order was issued. For application materials received May 13, 2026. Staff received a report of work underway at this property and posted a stop work order on May 13th. An application for the installation of new mechanical equipment was submitted that same day. Previously, this condo and all condos in the complex featured only window AC units. Proposed installation consists of a condensing unit wall mounted on the rear of the main building with the associated line sets run on the exterior of the building to a total of 4 indoor units. Staff finds the proposed location of the condensing unit to be fairly aligned with guideline. This location on the rear of the main building would not be visible except within the property itself. Staff would prefer a location that was ground mounted rather than being attached to the building, and it appears this unit would limit the opening ability of one of the shutters of adjacent openings. Staff has concerns regarding the proposed exterior line sets. The submitted scope of work notes these line sets will be exposed and that a fur down will have to be built by others to cover the line. No additional information regarding fur downs has been submitted. Two of the line sets would run across the top of the rear wall for a distance of approximately 10 feet before penetrating into the building. Two additional line sets would run around the corner and up the alleyway towards Bourbon Street. First run in this direction would be approximately 10 feet, and the second run approximately 30 feet before entering the building's interior. The second unit would be back from the front of the alleyway and the sidewalk by approximately 5 feet. The ceiling of this alleyway is now pristine and features existing plumbing pipes. Still, staff is concerned regarding the increase of equipment runs through the space without a plan to better conceal them. Staff notes that this is a condominium association situation, and the applicant has provided an email from the HOA for approving the proposed work. With the other condos, noting the other condos still have window units, staff is concerned that additional similar proposals may be seen in the future, and encourages the condo association to develop a general plan for addressing these situations. Staff finds the proposed installation potentially approvable, but recommends a revised or expanded proposal regarding the associated line set. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposal.
Thank you. Your name and address related to the property.
Alex Nash, project manager.
Okay, do you have a presentation or response to that? Sure. I guess the question is raised about line size.
So the homeowners association, they respond with their approved location for where things are going to go and where the outdoor units are going to go and the lawn football. The covering the fur down was going to be on the inside lot that the homeowners would be responding.
So that's your final installation?
It's not complete, but.
What would you do to make it better?
No, it's not complete.
Yeah, but yeah, what would you do to complete it?
The lines would be connected, everything would be strapped up. Maybe we could paint them white like the rest of the lawns on the wall.
Any questions for the applicant?
I have a question. Wouldn't that be put in the protection? Wouldn't they be put in all the connector pipes? You can cover it with like a gutter style. It's like a onset cover.
Go back to the previous. So where that right there. Does that line actually penetrate the wall right at the head of the shutter? I mean, we're talking for the right.
That's where it will penetrate.
Yeah, the hole is where it's been, where the thing is going to go.
The black lines are going to go into the wall.
Correct. Oh, yeah, above the shutter. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
But then there's another drainage line that you have to create over the.
Yeah, you see the clear line is the drain.
That's going to go inside of there. Yeah, we could put a cover over the whole thing.
Oh gosh. Okay. And that's helped you.
And also just like the shutter doesn't open. I mean, that's not where we would have said to install that.
Right. Did you pull a city permit for that? Yeah.
It's in file, but not a bit. You know, approval pending.
It's filed and you started work without permit.
Theoretically.
Did you file a city permit before you started this work, or did you do it after? So you filed the permit after you were busted. There's your answer.
I got it.
Why don't you ask your question again?
Well, I guess. It seems like there's a competitor, probably not there before, but that's a structural.
Yeah.
It's probably not granted, probably, but
as for what?
Yeah. Your information? Not only do you require city permits for safety and permits, you also require any exterior work in the French Quarter, which is the most historic. One of the most historic in the country. So that's the problem.
Is there any public comment? So now the committee is going to have to.
I have a question. Why is the line going all the way across the front of this building instead of entering right where the unit is?
On the right side?
No, right where like, I wish I had a pointer. Why is it entering the bit? Why are we doing this? Why isn't it just going in here?
Because it's on the interior, there's a wall in the middle there.
So you run it on the interior. Don't run it on the exterior. Why not?
Because then you have to go through another wall
So it's on the anterior.
Well, that's so that right there, that picture, you'd have to come through there, and then the lines have to go through the back to get into it.
But it could be done.
You have to build like a fur down out on the inside of the wall. And
but it could be done.
Yeah. Across the kitchen ceiling.
I mean, this is not something we would ever have.
The fur down. You could even put a fur down.
Yeah.
It's just the easiest way to do it. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do those rooms look like? Are they really ornate or special? Are we don't have any purview on the interiors, but sometimes it's nice to know that maybe sometimes we have something ugly on the outside and sort of something nice on the inside.
Well, there's already one line set right there that I'm looking at.
Yeah, so that's to that front room. So
early 19th century cottage.
Well, there's a plan book. Oh, they don't have one.
It's a very interesting paint job.
What are you
doing? Oh, boy.
Lisa.
I think that having the line sets on the outside of the building is problematic aesthetically and structurally. Should there be a proposal to run the line from the inside of the building and then resubmit it?
Yes.
Okay. Or something. I mean,
they've
some kind
already
of...
done it in another unit, so it's not like they're above it.
Yeah, they already put the. Oh, God, what have I done? I'm sorry.
It's okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 1224 Bourbon Street?
In the matter of 1224 Bourbon Street, I move that we deny the request to gain existing work and that the owner work with the staff to come up with a more suitable solution. That means, Scott.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. So I'd really like to appeal this to the commission staff about it. Okay, so we can go back to 518 Governor Nichols. Do you have an applicant? Is this something that we can confirm?
It's pretty straightforward. It's no rush. It could be deferred.
It's already done. Yeah. This. I mean.
Okay. Do I have a motion in the matter of 518?
Matter of 518, Governor Nichols. I move that we defer this matter to the next year. And an applicant to be present.
I'll second that.
Aye. All right. Motion passes. Next item is 716 Main Street. Do we have an applicant? What does the staff think about?
Similar situation where it's, I believe it's done and.
No.
Wow.
I'd rather do it.
I
wish. In the matter of 716 debate, I move that we defer until an applicant can be present.
That brings us to the end of our agenda. Should we?
Oh,
second. I'm sorry. Second. I was too quick. Do we have a second for that motion?
Yes.
And
all
in favor say aye. Aye. Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I second.
Okay. Do I have a second for that motion?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are. Thank you. Nick, you got off easy this week.
I did.
Cut this off.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.